Right, brothers and sisters, our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of John, chapter 11. And we read the first 27 verses. And then we will also read a short passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 15 this morning. The book of John, chapter 11. The verses 1 to 27, a very well-known passage for us. And we read from God's words. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus, of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sister sent to him, saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, the illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of Man may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and you are going there again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him. After saying these things, he said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him. The disciples said to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover. Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he meant taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus has died, and for your sake I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. Let us go to him. So Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. But Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would have not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And she said to him, yes, Lord. I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, the teacher is here and is calling for you. Our attention now turns to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we're going to read the verses 12 to 28. 1 Corinthians 15, so verses 12 to 28. Paul's exposition to the Corinthians on the resurrection of the dead. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 12. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there's no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ had not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are all people most to be pitied. But, in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has also come the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. But each in his own order. Christ, the first fruits, then all at his coming, those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. For God has put all things in subjection under his feet. But when it says, all things are put in subjection, it is plain that he's accepted to put all things in subjection under him. When all things are subjected to him, then the Son himself will also be subjected to him, to put all things in subjection under him, that God may be all in all. So far, the reading from God's word. I am the resurrection and the life. Brothers and sisters, who of you have ever seen somebody being raised from the dead? Who of you have ever experienced somebody being raised from the dead? Yet, we believe it. In 2007, there's a gentleman called James Cameron that made a documentary movie on the fact that he believed Jesus was never raised. Because in 1982, they discovered limestone boxes in Palestine with the names of Mary, Joseph, another Mary, Jesus, and Judah, the son of Jesus. And he believed that, and he made the movie, that Mary and Joseph and Jesus all died and was buried in that specific tomb. He went even further to say that the son of Judah, the son of Jesus, was Jesus' own son. This claim, however, marks with us just another speculative theory like the ones that was made in the Da Vinci Code not so long ago. According to an Israeli archaeologist, the name of Jesus was a common name during the period of the New Testament times. In the region of 3 kilometers, around where this tomb was found, there were 70 more graves with the name of Jesus engraved on it. Two more with the name of Jesus, son of Joseph, engraved on it. Common names in the Bible were Mary and Miriam, and more than half of the ladies in the Old Testament carried one of those two names. What's more, the family of Jesus would have been buried in the burial grounds of the family, and we know that would have been in Nazareth. But think about it. If those limestone boxes that where they discovered the remains of some people really contained Jesus' bones, then what a wretched people we are. What are we doing here today? What would Christ's credibility be like, having declared that he will rise from the dead after 3 days? What will be the foundation of our faith be? Listen to what we've just read. If Christ has not been raised, our faith is futile, and we are still in our sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all other men. Whether Jesus has been raised or not makes all the difference. It gives meaning to life. Christ dying on the cross is meaningless without in being resurrected. Christ coming down to earth to dwell amongst us is meaningless if he was not resurrected. The message of Scripture, of course, is clear. Christ is risen. Hundreds of eyewitnesses saw Christ after he was resurrected. But that's the message of the Bible and of the church. Christ lives. And after all, that's why we are here today, to celebrate on the first day of the week, the Lord's Day, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever considered why the church doesn't meet on the Jewish Sabbath, but the Christian Lord's Day? Because we celebrate the resurrection of the Lord the first day of the week. Today we want to explore the statement of the Lord Jesus. Okay, we want to explain when the Lord spoke to Martha, what it means when he addressed her and said to her, "Martha, your brother will live." Now, when we look at the book of John, we see that John has arranged the gospel that the words of the Lord Jesus, that "I'm the resurrection and the life," coincides with the sign of the raising of Lazarus. When Christ resurrected Lazarus, he demonstrated his power over death. Brothers and sisters, there's no one today that can raise a dead person. There's no one amongst us, even if we think we're great, or anyone else in the world, that can claim to resurrect the dead. Maybe after 2 minutes of dying, we've got the equipment to keep the heart kick-started again. But after 4 days in the grave? So Christ's climatic sign demonstrates to us his capability that he can raise people from the dead. And this miracle is the turning point in the book of John for us this morning. Because after this incident, what happened? The Pharisees plotted to kill Jesus because many people believed in Christ because of the miracle of raising Lazarus. Let's put some context to it. In the first part of chapter 11, Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick. But he deliberately did not go to Bethany straight away. He delayed his visit to Lazarus because of the purpose that the Lord had also with a specific miracle. By the time that they reached Lazarus, he's already been dead 4 days. We read that Martha came out to meet Jesus, and in his conversation with her, Jesus made a general statement in verse 23, telling her brother will rise again. And Martha, being a faithful person, said, "I know he will rise again at the end time." But Jesus said to her, "No, he will be raised. I am the resurrection and the life." Brothers and sisters, the Christian faith is so much more than just doctrine and truth and belief in the resurrection, isn't it? The truth of the Bible is not just objective information that we have to grasp intellectually and then go and believe in it. It requires a living relationship with Christ, who is the resurrection and the life. The declaration of the Lord, "I am the resurrection and the life," is the most majestic words in Scripture. If we understand them, we'll gain so much comfort from these words, especially in the generation that we live. Let's look first of all how Jesus describes himself. "I am the resurrection and the life." Brothers and sisters, at the point in time when Jesus made the statement, he was looking forward still, and he knew he would die, and he knew he would rise again. The New Testament describes the resurrection as work involving all three the people of the Trinity. Parts of the Trinity. He was raised by the power of God the Father, by the power of the Spirit, but the Lord also had the power to raise himself from the dead as well. In John 10:18, Jesus explained that he would lay down his life, but that he has the authority to take it up again. But Christ was also the life. Life is one of the main concepts in the gospel. And in John 1 verse 3, John says, in him was life. That's how John starts his gospel. He is life and has life in himself because he is God. He has always been alive and always will be alive. All the life that we experience today is in him. Nothing that is created hasn't been created without him. All things were made by him, and nothing that's visible was made without him. He's the source of all life. He's the source, the spring, the cause that makes everything grow. Christ knew that soon he would die, yet because of he was and is the life, he also knew that he would rise again. He is the conqueror of death, the prince of life. There's a famous hymn in the Psalter hymnal, number 361. Listen to these beautiful words. Sin's bonds severed, we're delivered. Christ has bruised the serpent's head. Death no longer is the stronger. Hell itself is captive led. Christ has risen from the death prison. Over the tomb he light has shed. The words of the hymn shows us, brothers and sisters, there's a connection between us and the resurrection of the Lord. Let's look secondly how it applies to us this morning. The Lord Jesus made two statements pertaining to us. First one, in verse 25b, he says, he who believes in me will live, even though he dies. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. Every one of us here today will die, except if the Lord comes before the end. But have you ever considered that death is not the end? It is merely the beginning. When the Lord Jesus returns, there will be a general resurrection and all men will be resurrected. Our dead bodies will rise from the grave, will be reunited with our souls, and we will appear before the judgment seat of the Lord. These bodies of ours that die will come to life one day in the same way as Lazarus' body was resurrected. So our bodies will be resurrected as well. John 5:25, Jesus spoke to them saying, I tell you the truth, a time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. Death will always be the last enemy. It all usually involves most of us struggling, dying in pain and agony, sorrow, sadness, etc. Sometimes it's sad for those people behind. But what comforts and encourages us this morning is that death is not the final reality. It is not the door that slams shut in our face to say, thank you, you've gone from earth, you've served your purpose. No. The Lord says to us, it's the entrance way into eternal life. Those that believe in me will live, even though he dies. This is the great hope we have, don't we? That even when we pass on from here, the Lord will raise us up and we will be with him forever. What other hope or comfort do we have except for that? Christ, as we've read in Corinthians, is the first fruits of many. He is leading the way home. He's pointing us towards our eternal rest. Christ also made his second statement to us this morning. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Verse 26. When Christ uttered these words, of course, he did not mean physical death, because we will also see physical death, but rather that we will live spiritually. And that is who we are, children of the living God. Paul wrote about this in Romans 8 verse 10. If Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, but your spirit is alive because of righteousness. Those who believe in Jesus will never die spiritually. Now the Greek in this never die is emphatic. He will never die, shall never die. It's a double affirmation of the truth. These mortal bodies of ours will die, but spiritually, our life with Christ is sure. When we come to know Jesus as the life, then we enter into a new existence, don't we? We begin an eternal relationship with the Lord even while we are alive today. Although our bodies will die, we still live with Christ every single day. Whoever lives and believes in me will never die, the Lord Jesus said. This is a great comfort to us when we think about those who have died in the Lord. Where are they? Their souls are safe with the Lord. And one day they will be resurrected like we will, and we will be united with Christ forever. And this also gives us hope when we go into our final days, that the life that we're about to pass on from here is not the end. We can look across the river of death and see life on the other side. The glorious hope that the Lord has created for us and worked for us. A glorious hope, brothers and sisters, that although we pass on from this life, we have eternal life with God. Then the second, the next part is when the Lord said in 26b, Martha, do you believe in this? Do you believe this? And Jesus did not ask her merely whether she believes in the truth of the resurrection. No, she's already proclaimed that he will be raised in the last days. What the Lord asked her is, do you believe in me as your personal giver of life? Do you have personal faith in me, or is it merely an intellectual knowledge? Could the Lord ask her in a more difficult time? She's just buried her brother 4 days ago, and what has happened? She's in mourning, and the Lord said, Martha, do you see me as the giver of life? That leads to the question for all of us, brothers and sisters. Is our faith a reality? Or is it just a mere knowledge? Is our faith a reality? The answer to this question is of fundamental importance to us. The only way we have comfort in the present, the future, the only comfort that we have is in the Lord. Nothing else can bring us comfort. Do we have a clear view of who Christ is? The resurrection and the life. Does it mean that he gives us a Christian hope? A hope that we will be reunited with him one day. Do we accept that his resurrection is a guarantee that we will be resurrected? Do we believe that we will have a life in him? Do we know him, and do we know the power of his resurrection? If you can respond positively to these questions, then you can make Martha's confession. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world. We often remember Martha for all the wrong reasons, don't we? We've sometimes have heard sermons of how Mary and Martha, Mary is the better one, because she was at the feet of Christ, yet Martha was slogging away in the kitchen. But brothers and sisters, Martha even went to Christ and said, tell my sister to come and help me in the kitchen. But what do we read, what do we read from Martha in this passage? That her confession of who Christ is counts amongst the most amazing confessions in the New Testament. John the Baptist, John 1:29, behold the Lamb of God. What a confession. Andrew, we have found the Messiah. Nathaniel, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Thomas, my Lord and my God. Martha did not know all the facts about Jesus, but she knew enough about him to believe in him. She knew that if he was the resurrection, then he must have been the Messiah, the promised one, the one that the Lord God has sent to earth to die on our behalf, the divine Son of God, God himself. She could accept Christ's statement, I am the resurrection and the life. She could accept that this was the claim of Christ to be the Son of God. She made this her own personal statement of faith. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into this world. This It's what we encourage one another on Lord's Day when we meet, to keep on believing in. The remains of Christ are not in a limestone box somewhere in Palestine. It has not been discovered, because the resurrected Christ sits at the right hand of God the Father, from where he shall come to judge the living and the dead. Christ is alive today. He is risen today. He shows us and he points us towards the only way into the eternal kingdom of God through him. We sing so often, he arose a victor over the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. Do you believe it? Without this knowledge that Christ is the resurrection and the life, our faith is in vain. It's pure knowledge. Do we expect from an unresurrected God to be our Lord, our Savior? Do we really expect from an unresurrected Lord to care for us and provide for us? What a mockery. Brothers and sisters, fundamental to our faith must be that Christ is the resurrection and the life. Do you believe it? The cornerstone of our faith. Is this your statement of your faith? Christ is the Son of God who came into this world to be the resurrection and the life. Do we believe this as an abstract fact? Or do we know it, that it comes from God? Do we see it as only as a doctrine? Or as the Lord open our eyes to see the resurrection and the life, the only one, the Lord Jesus Christ? Brothers and sisters, may the Lord grant us all the living reality of Christ's death, resurrection, and the fact that it is only Christ that can give us life. Hear the word of the Lord. Amen. Let's come to the Lord in a time of prayer. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for what you have done for us, for sending the resurrection and the life to live amongst us, to be our Lord and our God, to come and save us. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for sending your Son to die so we may have life. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming down to the earth and to serve us in this way, to grant us access, yes, Lord, into all eternity with you. And we thank you, Spirit of the living God, for working within all of us to open our eyes to see, ears to hear, minds to perceive, gracious Lord, to that the Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. What a marvelous comfort it gives us, oh Lord, that we know that when we pass on from this life, that Lord, it's not a door that shuts, but it's a wide open gate for us to walk through. Yes, Heavenly Father, that it's you that we can believe in, that we will never die. Heavenly Father, for you have chosen us before the foundation of the world to be yours. Gracious Lord, we thank you this morning as a congregation together, Lord, that we can call on the resurrection and the life day by day. Lord, that we can remind one another on Sundays when we meet. Lord, that we can remind one another when we meet at Bible studies and fellowship with one another. Lord, that we have to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Heavenly Father, we pray for those this morning in our midst that may not know this yet. Lord, for those that may understand it, Lord, but for whom it's not a living reality. Gracious Lord, we ask that through your Spirit you'll speak into their hearts, that you'll quicken them, Lord, that you'll encourage them. Heavenly Father, that you also bring them to their knees to praise and glorify the Lord Jesus every day. Heavenly Father, and from those of us that know the living Lord, oh, gracious Lord, may your name be glorified forever and ever, and we worship you for your salvation. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that we can know and we can declare that Jesus Christ is Son of the living God. Hear our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.